Welcome to the program. We start hour number two. I am live in Southern California. My name is Jim Rome. Having a great day. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. As I mentioned, I'm going back to back to back. We had Tom Verducci last hour. We had the head basketball coach at Virginia, the national champs, Tony Bennett, last segment. Your telephone calls are coming up a little bit later on, but as promised, I want to start hour number two. We're going to talk some football. We are joined right now by the linebacker, formerly of Notre Dame, a two-time captain, a National Football Foundation National Scholar Athlete Award winner, the Werfel Trophy recipient, an academic All-American, 86 tackles, 9 tackles for a loss, 3.5 sacks, 3 quarterback hurries, 4 breakups, and a fumble recovery this past season. The NFL draft is coming up April 25th through the 27th in Nashville. We are joined by former Notre Dame linebacker Drew Tranquil. Drew, it is so good to have you on the show. How are you?
Jim, I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me.
My man, so much to talk to you about. I'm so glad to have you on finally. You know, we're about 15 days away from the start of the NFL draft. So what's the draft evaluation process, Drew, been like for you, and how have you gone about approaching it?
It's been great, really. I mean, you go, for me, it started out obviously with the Senior Bowl, and then coming back from that and getting healthy and getting ready to go for the combine. But right now, really, I mean, it's just private workouts, it's meetings, it's flying out, meeting with teams, and, you know, going to Chicago this Friday. And so really it's just tightening the hatches, and, you know, they're certainly tightening the hatches on their draft boards, and we'll get ready to go here in a couple weeks.
You know, and I'm going to talk about that in 1 minute, but as we go back, Drew, your road to this spot has been so fascinating to me. If you go back, for instance, to your time in high school, you were not just a good baseball player. You were an excellent baseball player. There was talk that you could play professionally. So what was it about football that drew you to it?
Man, it's just, I don't know, the passion for the game, the energy. It was just something, honestly, man, I felt in my heart, you know, going into my senior year of high school there, I was like, you know, would I rather play baseball and not play football, or play football and not play baseball? And for me, it was like, I couldn't let the game of football go. It meant too much to me and my family and to my community. And so that was kind of, I guess, what got the ball rolling there for recruiting purposes.
All right, Drew Tranquil joining us. So then you go to Notre Dame and it's working out great. You're making an impact. But then you go down with that knee injury. What do you remember about that?
Well, it was tough for me. That was the first injury I'd really ever sustained in sports. I'd played baseball since I was 3 and tackle football since I was 5 or 6. And I'd never really sustained an injury and been held out of competition. And so it was all new to me. When I sustained the injury, I came to the sideline, and, you know, they messed with my knee a little bit, and we're like, you know, you've probably hyperextended it. And I went out and played the rest of the game. So to get the news that I had the ACL the next day was really shocking, and certainly a setback for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, Drew, that's really something. You laid that out, but just so everybody's clear on this, you suffer that injury, but you did pass the test for the ACL injury, and you keep playing in the game, and then you show up at the facility the next day, and your knee is blown up, and then you learn that it is a torn ACL. I mean, what in the world goes through your mind when you hear that news?
Well, I think devastation. I think as a competitor, you know, you want to be out there every week. You want to help your team win games. And for me, I was a freshman trying to earn and prove myself as a starter there at the safety position. And, you know, it was tough. I was like, dang, I'm set back now, you know, whatever it might be. But for me, it was how fast could I flip the switch and start setting goals for myself. And, you know, Adrian Peterson, I think, had just come back and from an ACL and really redefined the standard of coming back from knee injuries and had like a 2,000-yard rushing season. I was like, I wonder if I could do it faster than this guy. And it was really just about proving to myself coming back. But it was a devastating blow nonetheless.
Drew Tranquil getting ready for the NFL draft. Again, I want to be very clear about that. The story goes, and you pointed this out, but you wanted to see who on record had come back the fastest from an ACL injury because you wanted to see if you could beat that. And not only that, but you wanted to see if you could not only be squatting, but squatting more than anybody on the team. Like, Drew, most guys get down when they hear devastating news like that. How were you able to shift into attack mode as quickly as you did?
You know, I had a great support group around me. I have great parents. My wife's awesome. I got great teammates. But I want to say I heard the story of Marcus Luttrell, who was a Navy SEAL and, you know, has that movie and book, The Lone Survivor. But I heard a story from him of, you know, his whole platoon had just gotten knocked out and he had been severely wounded and he had to, like, a 7-mile crawl to, like, this village. And he was like, you know, the way I did it was I drew a line in the sand and I crawled past that point. And then I drew another line in the sand and I crawled past that point. For me, it was like, I'm just going to set these small goals and attack them every day. And then, you know, I'll probably look back 3 or 4 months from now. And that was where I was at. I was squatting, you know, more than anybody. And I was doing things I didn't think necessarily were possible. But that was kind of, I guess, my attack mentality was, you know, just be the best on these small goals. And you'll look back from now and have done things that you didn't necessarily think you could do.
So, Drew, just for the record, how quickly were you able to get back?
The first one, I got back on the field in 3.5 months. We didn't really engage me in any contact just for, you know, precautionary reasons, but I was back on the field, full pads, running around, breaking, getting in and out of breaks at 3.5, 4 months. So,
yeah, I mean, it's amazing, yeah. Drew, but as you just pointed out, you said the first one. I think a lot of people know where we're going with this, but in the event that they don't, then you're facing Georgia Tech. You're having a huge game, and you tear the ACL in your other leg. At that point, was there any part of you that was asking, why me? I've worked so hard, and now this, it's simply not fair.
You certainly have those feelings. I mean, you set goals for yourself, and for me, I wanted to come back as a sophomore and do these amazing things and redefine the standard, much like I said, you know, Adrian Peterson did. I wanted to be an All-American. I wanted to do these things, and to go down there after probably having one of the best halves of football I've ever played in my career was very, very difficult. And it definitely, the turnover time between having the injury and, like, flipping the switch to recovery was a couple days longer for that knee than it was for the first. I definitely felt like I sulked a little bit more, and I was just so frustrated with the outcome and the cards I'd been dealt. But, you know, I don't know who told me it, but I was like, it's all about controlling the controllables in life, and I certainly couldn't control the fact that I had another torn ACL, but I guess I could control my response to that.
You know, it's such a great answer, and it's such a great response, and so candid. And the fact of the matter is, you did come back from that, and you're killing it yet again. And then you go to that point that you just made about only being able to control the controllables. I mean, there's a lot of people, it's a great mindset, but there's a lot of people a lot older than you who never actually come to the realization. How did you come to it at such an early age to only focus on those things that you can control?
I don't know. I feel like, you know, maybe I listened to the critics too much early on in my career, and I realized that, you know, wasting my energy thinking about that or thinking about a certain, you know, the way things were going for me in life, whether it was the injuries or, you know, my struggles with grinding through, you know, my degree here at Notre Dame, whatever it might have been, it really, there was no point in wasting energy, like, being anxious about those things or thinking about those things. Like, just attack what you can. And, you know, I think I flipped the switch probably heading into my true senior year here, and certainly have been perfecting that sense. But it's an everyday battle. It really is, Jim.
Drew Tranquil joining us for a few more moments. He's getting ready for the NFL draft. Drew, you mentioned the Navy SEALs. I had a very good friend by the name of Richard Makowitz, and he's passed away. He had a battle with cancer, but he was probably the toughest guy. Yeah, the toughest guy I've ever known. And I used to train with him, and we train like in martial arts, and we do some work. But he told me early on, Drew, and I know you understand this, because he told it to me, and mentally I got it, but physically I couldn't. He used to push me to take cold showers. And I say, Mac, it's the worst thing in the world. Why would I do that? And I'll never forget his response. He said, because it cuts a toughness groove in your brain. I know you're a big fan of cold showers. How did you first get into them? What do you like about them?
Well, I started, honestly, I was just chopping it up with one of my mentors, and we were talking about Wim Hof, like the Iceman, and kind of his philosophy to life and stuff. And, you know, certainly for me, there was a mental toughness component to me, but more for me, it's like, if you can take a cold shower in the morning, like, and you can, like, breathe through that and handle that stress, I don't know, you just prime your body to handle any stress that might come your way for the remainder of the day. And so that's kind of my approach to it, and it's certainly something I still do. I've been doing probably for the past two and a half, 3 years.
Drew Tranquil joining us. I like it. Let me ask you this. You are a two-time captain in Notre Dame. Then you go to the Senior Bowl. You're a captain there as well. What's your approach when it comes to leadership?
I was a lead by example guy growing up, but I've come to learn that people don't really care what you have to say unless they first know that you care. And so, I don't know, just sitting down, trying to learn where someone's from, what drives them, what makes them tick. People tend to respond better to people when they know that they care about them, and those people understand, where you're coming from, and you understand where they're coming from.
So finally, you've got the draft coming up in a few weeks. I know you've got something, though, even bigger and more exciting arriving right after that. You and your wife, Jackie, are expecting a baby in May. How exciting is that for you and Jackie? How do you feel about that?
Man, I'm pumped. It was definitely a surprise, a month or two into our marriage, and bang, we get the big news. But we're super excited to welcome our son into the world. It's it's one of the biggest honors besides, marrying her that you could possibly experience in life. So I've been hearing from a lot of different people that, it's crazy when your child first comes out. You'll never understand what that feels like until it actually happens. So I guess we'll see here in the next 5 or 6 weeks, but it's certainly something I'm really looking forward to.
It certainly is amazing. The 2019 NFL Draft is coming up April 25th through the 27th in Nashville. He's a two-time captain, National Football Foundation National Scholar Athlete, a Werfel Trophy recipient, Academic All-American et al. Drew Tranquil, my guest. Drew, so good to have you on the show finally. I really appreciate you. Good luck with all of that, and it was a great conversation. Thank you.
Yeah, Jim, thanks so much for having me on.
Love to do it again soon. Drew, thank you. As amazing as that conversation was, and as much ground as we covered, there was still more. I mean, I couldn't even get his entire story, most of it, but not all of it, into a single segment. Really impressive. Really impressive. So, there is your interview portion of the program. Back to back to back. Tom Verducci, Tony Bennett, Drew Tranquil. Open phones now. 1-800-636-8686. I want to reset the Lakers situation. Magic quitting. Not only quitting on Jeannie Buss, but not even telling her that he was quitting on Jeannie Buss. I mean, I'm not sure that anybody has ever handled anything as badly as he handled that. But let's not get so caught up in that we don't recognize some of the other amazing things around the NBA last night. As an example, Duane trying to execute his signature move one last time before calling it a day. There he was, Duane in Wade County, trying to jump up on that scorer's table one more time. Uh-oh! Not exactly going out on your own terms. My man was like looking for a leg up. It's time for me to make my pick. And by that, it's time for you to get paid. My NHL final pick. You check out Marcell Ozuna last night? My man. Way to use that warning track. It's there for a reason. See my man go up on that wall and then fall off the wall and face plant on said warning track? A wild play. I also want to reset Ep 76, the Jim Rohn podcast. You tell me, was Elk better last year at this time or this week? Or is it all the same because he's always great? Hey, Rome, what a ridiculous presser. He sounded like a defeated fighter with his bell still ringing. Maybe scratch some bullets down to at least give your spewing somewhat of a general direction. Quitting so you can tweet? Ricky Williams quitting football for weed thinks that you have a problem. Except Ricky isn't a bag now. At least start the damn thing by thanking yourself. Make it interesting. Shannon SLO.
Thank you to John Elway.
It was a really unusual presser. Magic out there just kind of rambling on for an hour. Just carrying on. And I got to tell you, a lot of what he said made no sense whatsoever. A lot of what he said had no logic behind it whatsoever. I can't figure out what the hell any of it meant, except that he quit as president of the Lakers so he could tweet. Hey, Romy, you said it, man. When the going gets tough, the tough quit. Regards, Charlie Weiss opting to quit using a fork because it's easier to shovel spaghetti into your grill with your hands. It's not what I said, Geoff in Lincoln. You see, Geoff, like I said, I've shared this anecdote. One of the first guys I saw at Super Bowl this year, I'm going down the escalator, and coming up the escalator was none other than Charlie Weiss. He shot me a pretty ugly look. And I think I know why. Because of idiots like you, Geoff. I don't say things like that about him. But you know what happens? I know how this works. I've done this a long time. Somebody's going to run back to Charlie Weiss. Hey, yo, Chuck, you hear what Rome said about you today? No, now what? He said that you quit using a fork so you could shovel spaghetti into your grill with your hands. And then Weiss will be like, man, what an a-hole. But I didn't say it. Somebody said it on my program. It didn't come out of my mouth. I mean, the email came out of my mouth. But I never said that he shoves spaghetti into his mouth with his hands. I never said that. I never thought that. I never would say that. At SA Sports Honk tweets, Jim, can you please introduce my husband to cold showers? Please. Signed, Mil DeLauro.
Dude, no.
So that's a famous story. Richard Mackowitz, who was a Navy SEAL, author, a martial, a black belt in karate, martial arts. I mean, a fierce guy. Mack was the one that I read his book, and then I found him and said, do you work people out individually? He said, certain people. I said, which people? He said, people who can pass the test. I said, what test? He said, why don't you come to the studio and we'll see. I said, what is this? I mean, are you going to drop me off in the jungle somewhere and I got to find my way out? He's like, well, I don't really have time. You know, do you want to do this or not? I'm like, yes, sir. One of the first things he said was take a cold shower. I've tried. Is there anything more miserable than a cold shower? But Drew Tranquil had a great point. He said, listen, the reason I do this is if I could subject my body to that stress every single day and be comfortable with it and endure it, then I know that my body will hold up under other stressful situations. Right, I get it. Just as I know my body won't. That's why I don't do it. Cold showers suck, man. Mac. So my man, Mac. Mac passed away. Mac had a battle with cancer. And man, he gave cancer hell. Yo, this guy was so tough. He was so fierce. Mac would come on this show, and then he ultimately ended up with his own TV show, his own brand. But Mac came on this show in 2008, or at least this soundbite's from 2008, and we talked about cold showers.
I just had this theory about cold showers. You know, it's just nothing like you wake up in the morning, you're a little tired, you're a little groggy. You know, you just got to get rallied up for the day. You can't pretend you're sleeping anymore. There's nothing like a cold shower, man. It cuts that little toughness groove in your brain so you can show up and get the things done you got to get done. You can't pretend you're not asleep anymore.
He said it with a smile on his face, but he meant it. He meant it. You know, Mac was the guy as part of that, quote, test that he had me take before he agreed to work out with me. Mac said to me, choke me. I said, yeah, I don't think so. He said, choke me. I said, Mac, I'm really not comfortable choking. Choke me. So I get my hand on his throat. And it's weird, right? It's weird. I don't know him that well. And he's asking me to choke him. And he goes, harder. I said, not harder. So I choke him harder. He looks at me and he goes, harder. And he's like, not even flinching. And now it's kind of like a test of my manhood, like, because this guy's not even flinching. And he gets me to a point where I'm choking this guy as hard as I possibly can. And he's smiling. And then I let go. And I wasn't sure at the time what that meant. But he insisted that I choke him as hard as he could. I don't think that that choke cut a toughness groove in his brain. I don't think I choked him hard enough. R.I.P., my man. He was the toughest dude I've ever known, Mac. But he was the first one I'd never heard take a cold shower before I met Mac. Richard Mackowitz. You should read his book still. It holds up beautifully. All right, we will come back and open phones the rest of the way. More on the Lakers and your telephone calls. It is Smack Off season. We've got a Smack Off date. June 21st is your date. But you have to be in it to win it. You got to qualify. Some folks like to shop in a store. Others prefer to do their shopping online. But no matter how you like to shop, when it comes to auto parts, shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They've got everything you need under one single roof, virtual or otherwise. From batteries, brakes, and belts, to filters, transmissions, ignitions, and shocks. O'Reilly has it all. They've even got a full range of farm and agriculture heavy-duty parts, tools, and supplies. They have thousands of parts and accessories in stock, and with brands that you can trust, like Wagner Brakes, Monroe Shocks, Superstar Batteries, Wix Filters, and more. They can even get those hard-to-find parts, most with free overnight delivery, or you can shop online with free pickup in-store. Car lovers love to shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts, and now you can earn O Rewards points online and at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. In fact, you can earn points any way you shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You'll get $5 rewards for every 150 points you earn. So visit orewards.com and become an O'Reilly O Rewards member today. orewards.com and become an O'Reilly O Rewards member today.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, this is going to be a short segment. At TFP Will Eat tweets, Irv rambled on like a dude breaking up with his girl without blaming her for anything, but at the same time is happy he can get down with freaks again. Kind of a harsh analogy, but yeah. I mean, he clearly wanted to go back to the life that he had prior to becoming president of the LA Lakers. I mean, the guy won the title. He just didn't want to change anything about his life. He had no idea what went into it. Like, damn, this is hard. I had no idea. Right, Irv, you're president of an NBA franchise. It's really, really hard. I mean, he was saying things like, you know what? I was having a lot more fun before I took this on. Yeah, I'm sure. It's a hard job. You probably were having a hell of a lot more fun before he took that on. His problem was he thought that he could keep doing everything he was doing and take that on. Yeah, you had more fun before you took that on. We all had more fun before you took that on. Man, that could not have been handled any worse than it was. The guy literally quit so he could tweet. Going on and on about, yeah, I couldn't even talk about Dwayne Wade. I couldn't even be there for him. I couldn't even talk about Russ Westbrook. I couldn't even help other guys. Well, now you got what you want, man. You can go back to tweeting and helping other guys. Just so weird. I mean, even for Irv, weird. Really weird. Like, he had no idea what he was signing up for. And then if you're Jeannie Buss, who I think is really smart, how do you hire a guy who has no idea what he's signing up for? I mean, nobody knows him better than she knows him. She was there for everything. She knows what he's about. She knows he likes to tweet. And Irv, one, I hate to point this out. I know that you're quitting so you can tweet. My man, you're bad at Twitter. You're not good at Twitter. Like, you were bad at being a president, but you're even worse at Twitter. So why are you quitting as president to go back to tweeting? I think he didn't want to be the president of the Lakers. He wanted to be the president of Twitter. But he's not good at either. Also, Irv, and again, I don't want to pile on, but believe me when I tell you this, Dwanye doesn't give a damn about what you tweet. Russ does not care about what you tweet. None of them were like, oh, man. None of them were refreshing your Twitter feed to see what you were going to say about them and thinking to themselves, man, this is such a drag. Too bad Magic is president of the Lakers because otherwise he would tweet about me and I really want to know what he was going to tweet about me. Magic! And then he's going on about, yeah, man, I can't even help a young guy like Ben Simmons. I don't know. Why don't you help the young guys that are on your payroll? Why don't you help the young guys that are on your roster? Why don't you spend time with those young guys? Why don't you help develop those guys? Luke Walton's got to be looking around the room like, damn, I outlasted the old guy. He's gone and I'm here. And then it goes back again to Irv saying, you know, I couldn't tell Jeannie. I just couldn't tell her to her face. What? So you just didn't? You just quit? That's a hard conversation, yo. I don't want to have a hard conversation. then I'm going to have another hard conversation, until Lukey's fired. I don't want to do that.
Yo.
Wait a minute. I have to do those things? That's my job? Since when, man? I just want to show up and be the magic man. I don't want to have hard conversations. I'm not about that life. Yeah, we know. Weird. 1-800-636-8686. Now, it's a problem. It's a real problem. I don't know that I've ever seen a major executive for a major team in a major sports league handle it any worse than he did. But he's far from their only problem. They're the problem. He's the problem, but they're the problem. The Lakers are the problem. We'll get into that. Elk, we're now less than 24 hours away from your golf Christmas. I've got some present for you. The Steve Elkington 45-minute, uncensored, uncut podcast. What's that music all about, Albie? Wrong answer, Albie. Yeah, go ahead and bump it. I'm done. Now I'm done. No, Dwayne Wade. Yeah, he went out like a boss, right? 30 in his last game. Until he set up that one last signature move of his. Getting up on the scorer's table. Didn't quite work out.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Masters Week. The world's best vie for the coveted green jacket. Do not miss highlights tonight and tomorrow and full coverage Saturday and Sunday. It is a tradition unlike any other. The Masters on CBS. Another tradition unlike any other. Elk coming on the podcast the week of the Masters. And I'll reset that for you too. One phone line open, 1-800-636-8686. Now, before Magic Johnson dumped gasoline on the fire that is the LA Lakers season, last night was supposed to be about Dirk and Dwayne. Dirk playing in his final game in Dallas. Dwanye playing in his final game in Miami. Now, in case you didn't know, Dwayne Wade is retiring at the end of the season. If you didn't know that, welcome back to Earth, because Dwanye has done an amazing job of reminding everybody that Dwanye is retiring. He even came up with Wade World Tour t-shirts that were sold throughout the season. He had a hashtag on Twitter. So, when the tour finally arrived in Miami last night for the final time, you knew it was going to be a big moment. And it was. There were tributes before the game. There was the already memeable image of him falling into Chrissy Teigen and John Legend. Teigen, Teigen, she says it doesn't matter at this point. The image of him falling into them. Heat fans breaking out with their own tribute during the game.
Highsmith misses. Four minutes left.
Oh, my.
That is what you think that was. That was a Paul Pierce sucks chant. Got to say, pretty glorious, actually. Nothing like taunting a player who retired years ago for comments that he made a few days ago. It was all great. It really was. Such a fun time. What a great career. What a great guy. It was all tremendous. But then when the game was over and Dwanye had played his final game in Miami, the crowd did not want to leave. The crowd did not want to let him go. The crowd still wanted more. They were not ready to say goodbye, and neither was Wade. So he addressed the crowd one last time. But you know that as much as people wanted to hear from him, they wanted him to do that signature move one more time. The scorer's table jump. The scorer's table jump. That's the move that he made famous in the city where he made it famous. That's Dwanye's skyhook. That's his Dirk fadeaway. And as you know, as much planning as there was for this final season, as orchestrated as the entire thing was, you know that Wade had been thinking about and dreaming about that scorer's table jump for a long, long, long time. You know it. So, in front of his adoring Heat fans, in a place that he calls Wade County, let us see that table jump one more time. Before I roll it, if you're near a TV, turn it on, because this is it. The table jump that he had been building towards for the entire season. The table jump that he had been building towards for his entire career. The table jump that he had been building towards his entire life. The table jump to end all table jumps. And one more bit of advice. Get the Kleenex ready, because it is about to get dusty up in here as he does it one last time. Dude is going to nail this jump, and it's going to be the most glorious ish ever. Ready? Roll it.
I only could do it the only way I know how, y'all. That was tragic. Let's try it again. Let's do it this way. All right. As simple as this. Wade County.
Oh!
I love you.
My man jumped up on the table, appeared to lose his balance, tried to jump back up a second time, and just slammed into it. Run this back again, because this is incredible.
I only could do it the only way I know how, y'all. That was tragic. Let's try it again. Let's do it this way. All right. As simple as this. Wade County, I love you.
For as much time and prep that went into his entire year-long tour and that final game, you know there had to be so much more time and prep and thought that went into that jump. And that's how it went? With a bad first jump and an even worse second jump where he face planted on the table that he was trying to jump onto. That table jump was half Carl Lewis, half UFC announcer. After watching that, I'm not sure whether I should go with the uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
And I'll make up for it now.
I'll make up for it now.
Excuse me, my bad.
No, excuse me, my bad.
But at least he gave us a new drop. That was tragic.
That was tragic.
That was tragic.
That was tragic.
And they tried for it a third time. Except at that point, he didn't even try. He just stepped up onto the scorer's table in the most anticlimactic old man moment ever. If you thought that Wade going for 30 last night meant that he still had something in the tank, him tripping on that table jump showed that it is over. Willie Mays, stumbling around in center field, cannot believe Wade's attempted table jump. Grandpa Joe showed greater vert when Charlie broke out that golden ticket than Wade did with that table jump. Yeah, I understand. Your legs are tired after a long game, a long season, a long career. But when did the flash turn into the oaf? The way of Wade is just a smash into a scorer's table. My man, mix in a box jump or two before you try that. Or get a set of stairs. Or ask LeBron for a leg up. Because after all the planning and all the preparation for the ultimate farewell tour, that's not how you want it to end. You don't want one last dance to be one last busted shin on a scorer's table. To quote the man himself, that was tragic.
And now,
whenever I think of Duane, I wonder what I'm going to think of. Good guy, good career, rings, that he can't spell his own first name. Or that ill-fated, butchered attempt at a signature move. The time he needed a ladder to get up on the scorer's table. My man, I don't want to remember you that way. Except I'm afraid that I'm going to. You leave me no choice.
I only could do it the only way I know how, y'all. That was tragic. Let's try it again.
I mean, it's one thing to miss on the first try, but then to totally face plant. I'm surprised he didn't leave chiclets in that table. That second try was horrible.
That was tragic.
At SA Sports Hong tweets, Rome, did the Heat fans leave that game during the third quarter and then try to rush the arena doors when they realized D-Wade was not done playing? Wore cocaine and capri pants. I'll allow that. It's a really good tweet. They did do that once, remember? And they tried to rush back in, and they weren't allowed to come back in because they had left. Yeah, look, there probably is some cocaine in the area. It's a lot of cocaine in a lot of areas, but definitely in that area. I know there are capri pants in that area. Hawk wears them almost every single day. I was kind of joking with my son, Logan. Logan's like on this growth spurt. Logan is going to blow past everybody else in the family. Rogan Loam. I'm like, yo, son, check out the capris. Good look, bro. And they're not really capris. He's just growing out of his clothes quickly. Like, you know, like floods. Like the jeans look like capris. I'm like, yo, bro, do you want to live in Miami? You want to go be a Heat fan? Just say no to drugs. But you can keep rocking those capris. Dad, what? They're up to like your calves, man. We bought them last week. What's going on? They fit last week. Unless you bought capris, which is cool. Liz in Fall City tweets, if you think Magic is bad at Twitter, have you caught Keith Arnold and Hawk tweeting when the cat is playing? Yeah, Liz, I have. I hate to give this away, but if I follow, I don't know, 200 people, I'm going to say that 190 of them are now on mute, including everybody who works for me. And those are the ones that I do follow. Some people who work here don't even get a follow. I'm looking for a good phone call. I know it's a lot to ask. Let's see. Not taking that guy. Not taking that guy. Definitely not taking you. Yeah, I'm still looking for a good phone call. I'm also looking to give you what you want. I know a lot of you are waiting on my NHL Stanley Cup final pick. That's coming. Jamie in Green Bay tweets, even Kyle in Green Bay thinks that table got the best of D-Wade. That was the Buffalo clone stock, December 2018. Kyle made the road trip, hung out with Rick in Buffalo, went through a table. Anybody else? All right, so still ahead. More thoughts on the Lakers. This is a Magic problem, to be sure, but it's not the only problem. The Lakers are the problem. Elk's the answer. Elk, I've got another reset of the podcast, episode 76 of the Jim Rome podcast. Elk was on record. I had it yesterday. If you have not heard it, he's picking the big cat to win it again. He picked Tiger Woods last year. It didn't happen. He's picking him again this year. He likes what he saw from him recently, so we will get into that. And he breaks down some other guys and their chances this week. Elk, my reset, coming up in hour number three. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. In addition to that, did I mention my NHL Stanley Cup final pick? He's Batman. He's in studio. Dear Jim, Dwayne Wade's retirement celebration was so awesome. Signed, Dwayne Wade.
That was tragic.
It was tragic. All right, stay with it. Third hour's open. It's coming up next. Open phones. Don't go anywhere.